Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you. Lord, we want to love you more. Lord, your love is perfect. Your love is truly amazing. It goes beyond anything we've ever experienced in this life. And Lord, the goal is for us in sanctification to become like Jesus Christ. To have that love, the agape love, the love that you have. That perfect, pure love. Lord, that's what we want to love you with. I know that's the heart of, the desire of our hearts, Lord. But many times, Lord, we fall short of that love. Many times we don't express and show the love that we have for you. And that's all of us, Lord. Different times we fail. But what's so beautiful about your love, even when we fail in ours, yours never fails. And we praise you and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we open up the Word, I ask you to open up our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we can understand what your Word is telling us. So with that understanding, our love will grow for you. Our appreciation for who you are and what you have done will grow. And we will love you because you first loved us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Yeah. All right, when I left, before we left, I was working, trying to get ahead so that I figured, because we didn't know when we'd get back, and I didn't want to get back and not have a sermon ready, so I worked on this sermon and tried to get ahead before we went on vacation. So I had this sermon ready to go when I got back. But yesterday, God was like, I don't think so. He says, the sermon is good, but that's not the sermon for tomorrow. That's the sermon for 3 weeks from now. And I fought God on it because I said, I'm still on vacation technically. I don't come off vacation until Sunday morning. So God said, fine. He had thoughts going through my head all day yesterday, and I was like, no, I'm not changing. I'm not changing the sermon. So God said, fine, Sunday. You come off vacation Sunday. So at 4 o'clock this morning, I was woken. 4 o'clock. And I'm wide awake going, what? And then this God said, Sunday, here's the sermon. I want you to adjust it. And I sat there from 4 to 5, laid there from 4 to 5 thinking about this. Got up at 5. And I went in and I started tweaking the sermon. So this one sermon that I had before we left turned into 3 sermons. I got the first one done. It's actually short. We should be done on time today.
That's what Gordon said.
What are you laughing for? Who was that? That was Pat, wasn't it? And I'll adjust it more and see what next week's sermon is, and then the third week is what I had before. But it's really good. And I thank God that he did this. But before I get to my sermon, I want to thank Gordon for filling in for me. Yeah. And I want to thank the men who made the church look so beautiful outside. We should pay them. I want to thank Lisa and Jacqueline. Where's Lisa and Jacqueline? For feeding the hamsters. So I thank them on behalf of my daughters. You could have let them starve. It would have been okay with me. But for my daughter's sake, they love those hamsters. I call them rats, but... For Denise checking our mail so no one knew we were gone. Jacqueline and David for running the sound system and the computer. For Floyd taking care of the prayer time when I was gone. Ruth Flanagan for teaching the children when Wendy was gone. And all the prayers that people said they were praying, we had no problem driving. The weather was good for us. And like I said, coming home for the first time in our family history, we were coming home. So, but I just want to thank those. If I missed anyone, I apologize. I tried to think of everybody that was filling in and helping us here and there. And we just thank you so much for what you did, making it possible. So, in our Team Jesus concept here, where we are trying to make sure that we are a team, we're playing all together as one, we've been in 1 Peter. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 5, with a sermon entitled, Kept by the Power of God. And this sermon is, we're going to be 3 weeks in this one verse, because there's so much there. Let's recap what we've learned so far in this series. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, the elect. We are the elect. We're the called out ones. God has chosen and called us to Himself according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Foreknowledge is much more than God just knowing what's going to happen. It is His sovereign will enacted into human history to do what God wants to get done, to get His will accomplished without stripping away the free will of humanity. We're the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God, with His sovereign will, willed you into a relationship with Him. Saved you. So we could be in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience. That we can take on the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. That we can reflect our Lord and our Savior. And yes, we're called to obedience. We are called to serve God. To fulfill a purpose and a plan that God has for us. All this made possible by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on our behalf. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace, receiving what we do not deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve what Gordon talked about, and we talked about in the verses coming up, the inheritance, but the grace. And as we grow as Christians, grace should continue to become more and more precious to us. And as we understand grace properly and appreciate grace and embrace it, peace. The peace of God rules our lives. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us into a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We talked about the resurrection and how important it is. If Christ didn't raise, then Christianity is a lie. But if it says He did raise from the dead, we have a living hope. Gordon spoke about this living hope, about the inheritance to come. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. Whew. I thought about this verse as we were driving across the country. Specifically, when we hit the Florida state line. 5 days of driving in the car. The girls were waiting for Florida. We passed through all those other states, but Florida was the goal. That was the end of the destination. Because in Florida, there was Disney. That was the destination. And when we hit the Florida line, I said, hey, we're in Florida. The girls were like, yahoo! We finally got to the destination. And we had tickets. We had a place reserved for us. And we got there. We were there. I thought about that when the girls went, yeah. And I thought, how much more will we go, yahoo! When we go home, we get to that real place. And even when I think it was Ariel said, you know, Dad, it was amazing how beautiful Disney World was. She goes, but, you know, this is a dump compared to heaven. I said, yeah, it is. What God has prepared for us. You know, this inheritance, nothing will separate you from it. Do you know why? Because the inheritance that we are given here, that is reserved for us in heaven, is established because of the love of God. The love of God has made this possible. For God so loved the world. That's us. The love has made this possible. And because His love never fails, because He first loved us, this inheritance will never go away. Nothing can separate us from what we have in store. What is ahead of us? This living hope. Let's go to Romans 8 real quick. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. We've been justified. We've talked about this. Being the elect, we are justified, not by our own works, but by the work of Jesus Christ, by receiving His righteousness, not our own. And we will always be the elect. In God's eyes, because of Jesus Christ, we are righteous, pure, holy. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Who we really are, the soul, the essence of who we are. We might go through all sorts of hard times in the flesh, but who we really are is eternal. And that will always overcome everything. And we will receive this inheritance. We will receive the resurrection of the dead. We will receive the glorified bodies that Christ has promised. Nothing will separate us from that. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this inheritance, this place reserved for us in heaven, because of God's great love, because He loved us before we even loved Him, is established and is affirmed. So we've learned a lot in these few verses. Go back to 1 Peter 1. Now, this is where we've been for how many weeks now? 5-6 weeks. Taking each section and looking at what it means. We understand the core concepts of these verses now. They are truly amazing what we have learned here. Peter has laid out the entire Christian faith from beginning to end in these few verses. He's explained it all. But here's where God said, pause. Before you continue in the next sermon that you had, I want you to go back and I want you to point out something very personal to us. Something He showed me in the last couple days. God wants us to see not just what these verses mean, the elect, the foreknowledge, the obedience, the sanctification, the resurrection. We understand those things and we need to, but there's something more personal that we must understand about these things. You see, all these wonderful things Peter points out, it all comes down to really one thing. All these things are talking about aspects of a relationship with God. That's why all this is here. Because God desired a relationship with you. Each one of us. Let me explain what I'm saying. elect according to the foreknowledge of God. But this is also saying, even though we know it's the called out ones, we understand the foreknowledge, but what this is also saying in a simpler terms, God desired a relationship with you. He knew you before you knew Him. Before you even existed, God, being all-knowing, desired you to be in a relationship with Him. So He preordained the relationship. He called you. He willed it to happen according to His foreknowledge. He desired a relationship with you. He didn't need this relationship. God lacks nothing. God needs nothing. He simply desired you to know Him in a relationship. He longs for His lost child to know Him, to be in a relationship with Him. In sanctification of the Spirit for obedience, this speaks to the present. To God desiring a relationship for you was not only pre-planned, but now it's happening. It's in the present. It's right now. You don't have to wait for it in the future. It's now. Sanctification is happening in the present. Each day of your life, God desires this relationship with you, to be in fellowship with Him. He desires to love you each and every day. For you to experience that love, it's in the present. He pre-planned it, then He willed it to happen, and it's in the present now with you. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, you were so important to Him, this relationship, that God became a man to die for your sin. So that this relationship between you and Him was possible. Now look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This relationship with God and you was not only pre-planned, it's not just now in the present, God is already looking to the future relationship, the eternal relationship where He plans for us to be with Him in paradise. He has already reserved a place for you in heaven, prepared a place. You see, this relationship, all these big theological terms, elect, foreknowledge, sanctification, inheritance, the resurrection, all these are pointing and saying in a more simplistic way, this relationship with you is so important to God. You are important to Him. So much, He gives you His love. And He laid His life down to show you how much He loves you and how much He wants the relationship with you. He called us out of darkness into His light so we could understand Him. Limited as it is, but we can understand who He is. And we get to know Him because He's personal and He cares. We don't have to wait. We don't have to earn this relationship. It's given to us. And each day we get to know Him and walk with Him if we choose to do so. I remember when I first met Wendy. I remember the first time I saw her when I was 16. As I got to know her, I wanted to be with her. When I woke up in the morning, I was, okay, I gotta go to work. I gotta do this. But tonight, date. I get to be with her. The relationship is there. And all couples do this. They yearn for the relationship to be together till one day they get engaged, they get married so they can be together every day. The relationship. This is God. It's not a distant relationship. It's not something in the future. It's now. And we can experience Him every day. That's what He wants. Because look at verse 5. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're going to stop right there at the word kept. The Greek here is phureo. Phureo. It means to mount a guard, to protect, to keep safe as with a garrison of soldiers. A garrison of soldiers. Or if you want, Coast Guardsmen. Or airmen. Not out airmen. Maybe sailors. Nah, Marines, there you go. You are kept by God. As far as we're going to get today. I want you to understand this. This relationship that all these things we've learned is pointing to, this relationship God wants with you, He protects it. Nothing will break this. Nothing will take it away. Nothing will overcome this relationship you now have with God. He guards the relationship as with a garrison of souls. This is how God feels about His relationship with you. He's willing to defend it, protect it. He's dedicated to the relationship. He pre-planned it. He willed it into existence. He came and He died to make it possible. He has made plans for this relationship to continue into eternity. By preparing a place for us, reserving a spot for you, and now, He says, He guards it. He protects it. Why? His relationship with you is that important to Him. That is not meant to give us a big head or think we're better than what we are. This should humble us. But it should amaze us. God wants this relationship with you. Look what He's done to make it happen. And He's guarding it. Now here's where I must ask you a question. Ask us all this question. Now we understand how God sees the relationship, what He's doing to make it happen, to sustain it, to protect it. Now, how do you feel about this relationship? How important is it to you? Are you seeking this relationship as much as God is seeking it with you? Are you guarding it? No, God's guarding it. But are you guarding it yourself? Is it that important to you? Because all of us, the sad fact that all of us at times do not appreciate the relationship. All of us at times walk away from it, betray it, are unfaithful. The song that we sang, Fount of Every Blessing, there's that verse, it says, I'm prone to leave the God I love. Prone to wander away. There's things that make us wander. To let our guard down. Could be sin. Could be the cares of this life. Sometimes we don't guard the relationship with God as precious as God guards it. He's guarding it as with a garrison of soldiers. Sometimes we compromise in our relationship with God. Sometimes we're unthankful of the relationship. Sometimes it's inconvenient to what we want in this life. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we're unfaithful to it. And we all are. David, a man after God's own heart, was unfaithful to the relationship. But here is the amazing thing. Even when we wander, even when we are unthankful, God's love for us never fails. His desire for the relationship never changes. His protection of the relationship never wavers. And that doesn't give us permission to wander and to abuse the relationship, but it's the goodness of God. And thank the Lord. Because if the relationship was based on us fulfilling our part, we'd be in trouble. But because of grace, even when we mess up and we wander or we just get callous or we don't appreciate the relationship or we take it for granted, God never does. And His long-suffering, His patience waits for us to come back to our senses and realize what we have in Christ. That we have a relationship with the living God that is better than anything this world can offer. Nothing comes close. And we come back to God and we're sorry and we feel ashamed because we wandered. We are prone to do that. But God is there with open arms. Always. His desire for the relationship never wavers. So let us desire to keep this relationship that God has opened to us, God has given to us. God has even planned it for the future. Let us guard the relationship that God has given to us. Let us guard it and protect it and cherish it as much as God cherishes it. Proverbs chapter 4 says this, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart. You see, we had a dead heart. Dead in trespasses and sins. From the heart proceeds all the evil, all the sin that humanity does. But God says when He comes into our lives, He'll give us a new heart. He'll give us His heart. Sanctification produces the heart of Christ. And we're to protect that. We don't let sin come in. We don't want to sin anymore. We don't want to waver. We want to follow God. We keep your heart with all diligence. What God has given in this relationship, He has opened up to us. Let us hold on to it. For out of it springs the issues of life. Everything in life now is affected through the relationship. The relationship comes first. And it'll affect everything in your life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let the old go. Guard the relationship. Let the language go. Let the jokes go. Let the gossiping go. Let the backbiting go. Let the judgmentalness go. The unlovingness. Whatever was a part of us. Let it go. Guard the relationship. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. God has set us on a new path, the path of discipleship, sanctification. He has called us to pick up our cross and follow Him. Ponder that path. Guard the relationship. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Guard the relationship God has given you. Don't abuse it. Don't wander. Don't take it for granted. Guard it. I'll close with what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What I thought I wanted in my life, what I needed in my life, nothing that matters. I have gained Christ. He is the relationship with God. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The relationship with God was everything to Paul. Nothing else mattered. The knowledge of knowing God. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. The relationship. That's what it's about, that we may know God. The prophet, I think it was Jeremiah, said this, don't let the rich man boast about his money. Don't let the wise man boast about how smart he is. And don't let the strong man boast how his strength. But if you want to boast about something, boast about this, that you know the Lord your God. Knowing means relationship. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The relationship was everything to Paul. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What does that mean? What did that do to the relationship and the fellowship of His suffering? To experience that aspect of Jesus Christ in the relationship, that we suffer and connect with what He went through for us. Being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It got to the point the relationship was so important to Paul, and he wanted to be in the presence of God, the relationship in the future. He was willing, it didn't matter how he died. He wasn't afraid of death anymore. Hey, whatever, death is fine with me as long, because once I die, the resurrection and the relationship will get even better. Not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What Christ called us as the elect for His purpose, His plan, but also the relationship. Christ laid hold of us. He called us by His foreknowledge. And now we're going to hold on to what He is holding on to us. The relationship. His plans, His purpose. We're going to make it our own. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things on the right and on the left, Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, our relationship in the New Jerusalem, in that heavenly city where God is with us and we are with Him. The relationship complete and perfect. The upward call to be in relationship with God. This relationship that He has initiated, that He made possible for us simple human beings who should even see us. He has opened a relationship with Him that we can have access to every day, to walk with the King, to hear the King, to experience the love and the grace of the King, the peace of the King. First Peter 1, you who are kept, guarded, protected, defended by the power of God. The relationship. God is guarding what is important to Him. You are important to God. Our relationship with Him is important. Let us guard it as well. Let us cherish it. Let us no longer wander. No longer be unfaithful. No longer take it for granted. Let each one of us guard our relationship with God, allowing nothing to turn us to the left or to the right, but stay focused on the relationship. For the relationship has a purpose that is so beautiful and righteous. A purpose that starts with us, but then goes out into the world and affects others. We will discuss this next week. But for today, this week, let us embrace the relationship. The relationship that God has made possible. That He has opened up to us. Let us celebrate this very personal, unique, extraordinary opportunity to walk with God, to be in relationship with God, to know Him, to be loved by Him, to be protected by Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that I explained that well enough. The concept is bigger than we realize. This relationship with You is so misunderstood. Our relationship is not about what we do for You. And that's part of the purpose and plans You have for us, but our relationship is to know You, to talk with You, to spend time with You, to experience who You are. Letting Your Spirit teach us, guide us. Letting us connect to Jesus, to take on His heart and His mind. Lord, this relationship is now. We're not in Your very presence in the third heaven in Your glorious state, but we are in relationship with You. And Your Spirit is within us. Lord, let Don't let us allow vain things in this world to compromise our relationship, to take the place of our relationship. Don't let religion take the place of this daily relationship. Lord, help us to understand as your children how important this relationship is to you. And I pray, Lord, that it becomes important to us. That we seek it. We seek you with all our heart. To know you. And to love you because you first loved us. Lord, help us. Help us understand. Help me, help everyone to understand. Let us go deeper in this relationship than we ever have before. And Lord, if there's someone in here who doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that you will show that to their heart. Convict them in the loving way you do, but convict them, Lord, that they do not have a relationship with you and they have to have a relationship. They have to be born again. They have to follow your plan, not theirs. Again, Lord, I thank you for letting me be here. Me and my family, with my family here. My brothers and sisters in Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Hey, Ruth, come on up here. Ted, I had a prize for you. We're going to, I hope I explained it well enough. If I didn't explain this well enough, come to my office and I'll try to do it again this week. Come on up here, Ruth. This relationship is so precious. Come up the side. This is so precious and I want us to embrace it and celebrate it. I want us to be so thankful for this relationship God has given to us. Not neglect it, not turn into religious people, but to walk this walk with God. This relationship. I want us to sing from the heart the hallelujah song about God saving us and opening this relationship to us with Him. And this song is about that. And this song sings hallelujah, the ultimate word for praise of God, for what He has done for us. But it's kind of a little bit of a rock and roll song. Air guitar. And of all people who loves this song, it's Ruth. Which it doesn't seem to fit the older generation. Some of the older generation go, oh, that's evil. It's not. David was told to use every instrument known to man in the worship of God. I want to sing this song because I want us to be, and I hope, I said, I prayed God, Lord, help me inspire them to know the relationship. And I want us to sing hallelujah for it. Because we have a relationship with the living God. And that is truly something to be happy about. Amen? So let's sing it. Come on out, Ruth. You're going to help me lead. You stand right there.
What a know that you're the God above. You're filling me with grace and love. Now I just want to say thank you to you. You pulled me from the miry clay. You've given me a brand new day. Now all that I can say is hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Ruth. God is good. Team Jesus, we are people in relationship with God. How precious is that? Saved and with an amazing inheritance and future coming. But until then, we are to be about His business here. We're Team Jesus. We're the ones going on the field to tell other people about Jesus. And what they too can have. Because it's not just us. It's for all. So let's go out and play our best this week. Let's give it our best. But don't neglect the relationship. Embrace it each day. You ready to, break? Count of three. One, two, three, break. Well, let's go.